study where he spent $300. For me, my very first mailing was under $1,000, and then I had a loan for $3,500, and I turned $4,500 into shy of $60,000 in about 70 days, all through direct mail. How is that possible? It was because out of those $5,000, collective dollars on marketing budget, I was able to send out, about, I want to say 6,500, 7,000 pieces, but we were hitting 2-3% conversion rate. We literally had hundreds of buyers come in, and out of the hundreds of buyers, we serviced dozens of people on the back end, and we were charging anywhere between 2,000 to 5,000. So the numbers add up very quick when you have the process in play. But what's so strong about direct mail is the entire touch point, the entire process is a different than what people are doing online. Because let's face it, right? And I don't throw stones because we do this, right? It's kind of funny because my friends are like, Ryan, are you dogging webinars? Of course not. We do them weekly, right? And we make a lot of money on webinars. Funny, we send out direct mail pieces to fill webinars. So I would never dog them because they do work. But I must say the secret that I've learned is using webinars, social media ads, and even our direct mail stuff, it's using it in conjunction. I call it, direct mail 2.0, my mailbox secrets, right? It's kind of the tagline.
Yeah.
And secret is using Facebook ads, Instagram ads, your direct mail piece. We even do follow-up pieces where people get postcards, one to two page letters that give case studies and follow-up after they buy the product that also coincide with the emails they're receiving and the social media ads they're seeing. So really, it's in combination of all those moving parts to dial in and get a winning campaign. But to answer your question, you can literally start with hundreds to, a couple thousand in my case, and snowball it, right? Just like a social media ad. We used to teach you could start off with your campaigns on $5 ad budgets. Now, the truth is it's very unlikely to make a multi-million-dollar business from just a simply $5 ad budget, right? Yeah. Oh, I spent $5, now I have millions. That doesn't typically happen, but it's the snowball effect, right? The $5 turns into 10, 15, then you take the 10, 15 and keep half. Now you have $7 instead of five, right? Yeah. Turn it into 30, right? Now you have 30 and so on and so forth. Same applies here, right? You start off with smaller lists, mailings, and smaller pushes. And last week we had 40,000 pieces go out.
Wow.
Right. So, Yeah. So it just shows you how quick, you can take off once you have the numbers dialed in. And full transparency, right? We've even had a huge mailing. So where we actually had some challenges this pandemic, this election season. I know worldwide they're not having this issue in some countries, but in America, with this election season came these huge slow-ups at the postal, U.S. Postal Services. Still to this day, we're talking, election season was in November, we're in April, and there's still a backup, and some of the mailings are taking days and additional weeks that, used to take 1-2 days. But the crazy part is it's still outperforming all of our digital ad spend. And now instead of, getting a first class letter across the country in 2-3 days, it's taken 5-7-8 days. So we're just, accounting for the extra days for the direct mail to hit. But you always have to bob and weave and funny is we noticed an increase on people consuming the mail, and our stuff converted even better where, just because I think people were around more and they had more time on their hands. So we had some pros and some cons, with the pandemic, the mailing slow up, certainly, the old saying, time is money, especially when we were testing these mailing lists and I made a huge mistake and a couple of lead sources I thought were working well. And I thought it was just slowed up, and come to find out it wasn't just slowed up. The lead source was also not working as well. It was a tens of thousands of dollars worth of mistakes and, lost income.
Yeah. And how, how do you recover from that? I mean, because that is, I think, a lot of people's worry, that they're going to, you know, make a mistake and it's going to really impact them. Obviously, you know, you've got the economies of scale now. You've done this a million times, so you kind of know what to look out for. But it's interesting to hear that even at this stage, Ryan, that, you know, mistakes can still happen.
100%, and it's all perspective, right? And that's kind of the name of the game of business, is it just because it's kind of funny, right? There's an old rap song, right? More money, more problems.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's true, right? It's just you know, it just be, and the funny thing is right, you have more good days and bad days, right? And and it's kind of funny because I even hear people, the case studies, right? You'll have 70 good days out the year, so technically you have more bad than good, and you can analyze that. And I guess I don't look too much into it, but to how I kind of see all this, and to answer your question, is it's just I use an acronym called FINO: failure is no option. And I love my acronyms. I also have one for direct mail called LESS. I'll share that after.
Right, great.
But FINO is my marching beat, so to speak, on my mindset when it comes to business, comes to life, because failure will happen, right? Even to the start of my business, I, you know, had these ups and downs. At 13, I made a lot of, or had an awesome connection and a good mentor. And in my late teens, early 20s, was making six figures and life-changing, was quote-unquote rich. So then I lost it all, right? And due to bad decisions and partying and, you know, the glitz and glamour. And so then I relaunch, right? And had some money coming in and doing well. And then I get taken advantage of in a business deal, right? And oh man. And then, you know, I relaunch again and have some success. And so point is you always have those ups and those downs. And even today, right? We had a mailing that cost me tens of thousands on mistakes. But how I rebound from that, right? And I really focus on my mindset, two things, the mindset and the method behind what you're doing. Now they say, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. So what I didn't do is I didn't mail the same list that
right,
bomb.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Well, here's the stupid thing is I did it once before and said, okay, I'm not going to do it the third time because I thought it was held up. I thought the mail was lagging. I thought all these different things. So it was a large mailing that did very, very well for me about 8 months prior. But the crazy part is what I realized is those leads were just kind of running its course, and you know, it was kind of done. But I thought the mail was held up, so I mail them again and get a double push out of it. Was my thinking that it'll all come in at once, right?
Yeah.
We'll high five and we'll buy the yachts and the exotic cars and have fun, right? Sadly, the mistake, and it didn't happen that way, and it all didn't come in at once, right? Nothing came in, or some came in, but a fraction of what I spent. You know, and I've had this happen in my, it's because now we've been blessed and, you know, we've been ventured into supplements and we were in the top 1% sellers on Amazon. We, you know, we have a software on a big affiliate platform, one of the biggest affiliate platforms out there. And we were one of their top vendors and our launch did, you know, 7,500 units sold in a matter of a month. You
nice.
Know, 5,000.
Nice.
Yeah. So even in these software businesses that, and we, funny story, we do direct mail and we use direct mail with those businesses, but some of them are a lot of traffic online focus because they're softwares that help people with traffic tactics and traffic methods. So, right, you have the message market match, right? It's kind of foolish to send everyone a postcard on doing a traffic tactic, which is funny. We actually do it and it works well. But point is we also know there's a pond to fish in online that we don't neglect and we can make money from. So we do that as well in conjunction. And even in all these different businesses I just described, right, in our education series that's offline, our supplements on Amazon, our softwares on these affiliate networks, that they've all had bumps in the road and issues, right? It's, again, going back to the, you know, you always will have issues. You always will have things happen. But what I do is I look at it, right, and try to see what worked before and what was working at the time that it was working, and then where I'm pivoting and what's going wrong to get me back on track. And for me, this is where the LESS acronym comes in, right? So FINO, failure is no option, the mindset, But the methods and what I do is less, doing less to produce more. It's not a get-rich-quick scheme saying that you do nothing to make money, right? Less is an acronym, which is lead source, which is where your data, where your traffic's coming in from. The envelope structure, because this is a direct mail quote or campaign, so how your marketing is going out. You can use the analogy as well as digital. How's your emails going out? How's your marketing, your sales page, your VSL, mm-hmm. your video, right? But how is the appearance? And then the first S is the selling sales piece, or the postcard, or even do a shock and awe kit. So what comes in the mail, which is your booklet. I mentioned Nick does an amazing job with his, which is, you know, a mouse pad, USB, an entire product series people get. So that's the first S. Then the last S is your selling process, what you're doing on the back end after you acquire the sale. So just to kind of recap, right, the lead source, if it's a direct mail campaign, is, you know, if it's internal data, am I renting the list from a list broker? So at this case, it was the data issue, right? Because my envelope structure was fine, my sales piece was fine, mm-hmm. the selling process was fine, just the lead source. I've had all these issues where I've had some, even the envelope structure today is a nice, clean structure. We do handwritten font. Now, to be crystal clear, we do internal mailings, and we'll skimp out on this because we have really good leads, right? So the thing is the envelope structure needs to convert well to a cold list, the people that aren't, you know, that don't know you, like you, trust you. So we have pushed mailings out internally that have, you know, had labels on it, and just, you know, maybe it's a bold font instead of handwritten font. But just to backtrack and talk about winning campaigns going to cold audiences, I noticed the envelope structure makes a big difference.
Right.
Because if it's this generic, you know, ugly piece that's like, looks like junk mail, it'll be treated like that.
Yeah, I guess as well if it looks like a bill, you know, some...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. And people do that. Well, they'll send like checks, you know, and what we do, so I'll tell you our winning formula, is it looks like a card. It's like a 6x9 colored envelope. So one was like a light green, a dark blue, and they're like, what is this, right? It's a handwritten font, and it'll, you know, we'll have, you know, special, what is it, special notice enclosed. So, you know, oh, is this an RSVP to a wedding? Is this, you know, nice. What is this? And that's been our winning piece. What we'll do is we'll take it a step further. In springtime, we'll put a bunny on it, you know, and maybe a flower. The wintertime rolls around. We'll have, you know, a snowflake on it, or maybe a Christmas man, or, you know, Merry Christmas. Or, you know, we'll do different things depending on the season with that letter, with the envelope structure. But for me, I found out that was a big area of focus that can help convert cold traffic, or colder than your internal lists. So that's what we focus on. Then the selling sales letter is, you know, headline, subheadline, your body, facts tell, story sell. So we'll have a lot of stories in the copy, I've realized. And then a strong call to action, which is the first S in the less acronym, your sales piece. And then the last S is your selling process, right? We love to bring people, we have more of a white glove service. So we call every person that spends $10 or $1,000. We make sure they get our products. We make sure they're logged in. We follow up. We send out a follow-up letter series that are resources, help them use their product, but also promoting and offering the next offer, right? How we can help them even more. Then we, you know, release our retargeting ads and emails and videos. So that selling process, the last S, is equally as important as the first three letters. LESS is less. So LES is pretty much your mailing process, lead source, envelope, the sales piece. That's getting it mailbox ready, right? Getting it sent out. Then the last S is what you're doing, you know, once the person comes into your organization. So what I do, right, no matter what, and if it's an online business, an offline business, I focus on that less acronym. And again, just to, you know, I guess, repeat myself, you sometimes have to customize it. So your lead source isn't coming from a list broker at 14 cents each that you're mailing. Maybe it's Facebook. Maybe it's YouTube. Maybe it's solo ads. Maybe it's radio. Maybe wherever your traffic source, your eyeballs are coming in from. So I look at those methods, right? The Pheno analogy, failure is no option, and that mindset. And I expect it to happen because it will, right? I mean, I've had huge things, you know, so I realized, you know, I used to tear me up, used to beat me up. So two categories, your mindset, right, with the Pheno mantra, failure is no option mindset, for me has been key, because I've been in these times where it could have been a speed bump in the road. And if I'm being full transparent, I've allowed it to be a pothole and a divot and create a flat tire. Mm-hmm. And because of my mindset for it, right. And just, got me off kilter. So I'm really, really important now to say, okay, issues are going to happen, right? Failure will happen. I can't let it be the dictating factor and keep me in that spot, right? In this flat tire analogy, right? If it's a speed bump or a small divot, maybe you can go around it or avoid it, right? Maybe if you do hit it, well, how fast can you get out and put on the spare, right? You're going to cry there for 2 hours and, okay, you know, or call AAA, get them here and put on the spare and take off again, right? So, you know, that's what I've realized is the failure will happen, but when it does, I go back to my fundamental, well, how and where and what do I need to fix. In this case, it was the lead source thing. I did a couple small things and went from less than 0.5% conversion up to 6% conversion. Talk about a night and day difference.
Incredible.
You know, we're talking losing tons of money to now making tons of money.
Yeah. I mean, so many key takeaway points that you've just kind of gone through there, including, you know, a lot of the messaging afterwards is the reinforcing, isn't it? You've got that down to a T in many ways, that once somebody has bought the product, you actually follow up with them as well to, I guess, in a way, take away some of the buyer's remorse that people sometimes have.
Right, 100%, right? Because that's the facts are, and I'm a consumer, right? So this is me, right? I mean, I have my boating stuff, and I spend a bunch of money on my boating stuff. I don't even calculate it because I probably get out of boating. and I look at myself, right? You have buyer's remorse. We get gym memberships. We buy tons of stuff. And what's funny is, you know, what I look at is what keeps me engaged, right? Mm-hmm. Or people that maybe go the extra mile. It's very easy for me to, you know, unsubscribe and leave a service that's not serving me, right? So that's what I realize is being, I've heard Dan Kennedy quote before, is in order to be a good, to sell a lot of products and a good seller, you must be a good buyer, right? And I've taken that quote literally, right? But it's kind of funny, right? Because it's all perspective. But we're into RVing and camping. We're into, you know, our boating stuff. We have lots of other things where we love and passions, and my daughter's art stuff and karate. And what's funny is we've bought in tons of product services that have been very easy to have buyer remorse over and say, you know what, this is not really what it was meant to be. It was an impulse buy and I'm done. Now, do I say not to give refunds and don't, you know, like obviously not at all. If it's not a fit, if it's not a match, then, you know, you refund the client and you move on and, you know, you part ways. But what I've realized is you can be more of a service and more of an asset when you add in these factors. Yeah. Where it's a white glove service. So now they're getting resources in the mail. And then they think, wait a minute, those pesky competitors aren't doing this. They're not giving me resources. So I'm going to stick with Ryan, right? Or maybe it's a phone call. Maybe it's a whatever the case may be, right? But those added touch points in our experience go a long way, a very long way, even on services that I purchased. I'm a huge consumer, right? And there's probably not a coaching program or a product I haven't purchased, just to be full transparent. Mm-hmm. I'm on everyone's buyer list, and I love to buy products, and I still do, because in order to be a good seller, you must be a good buyer, right? And but the point is there's, you're just like you said, there's have been. If you buy something and you don't get an email from it and you can't access it, talk about a buyer remorse.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
The sad part is, yeah, right? And the sad part is sometimes that stuff is accidental, because it's happened, right, where email servers get crossed or whatever the case may be. But what I've realized is you fix those small issues, right? Okay, so the email stuff, you hear from some feedback, you hear whatever the case may be, and then you make those changes, those edits. And for us, that's been a huge factor with, you know, keeping happy clients happy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Keeping the ecosystem.
Completely.
So,
I mean, it sounds to me as though, you know, you've over the years, you've kind of almost put yourself in the position of the person receiving that direct mail piece, so that, you know, you are treating your guys like the way you would like to be treated yourself. Is that fair to say?
100%, right. And, yeah. And here's the, so actually this was actually full transparency. Was actually I sold this one service, right? It was a couple $100 and a month, and it was a back-end service, and there was a lot of issues with it, right, where people weren't getting emails. I was using a specific mail server, which I won't name, that was tied into a funnel builder that wasn't sending out, and it still is a known issue. And, you know, so it was just all these things. So what I did was I said, well, how can I make this better? And granted, it was only like 20 people, right? So I personally called every single person and said, you know what? This wasn't a coaching offer. This wasn't a one-on-one offer, but we've had some issues. I said, you know, you have access to the back-end members area. There's an over-the-shoulder training, but I'm also, how can I serve you? How can I personally work with you? And out of those 20 people, there's 6 or 7 of them that I actually worked with personally. Mm-hmm. And I didn't get more money from it. I didn't sell them on stuff. I said, you know what? No, this is, I just want to serve. And the crazy part about it was the conversions on people getting into my back-end programs or back-end stuff was astronomical, huge numbers. Why? Because I went from, hey, we did have an issue, we had a mistake, but here, I'm going to over-deliver and actually help out more. And actually, you know, how can I make this better? And people receive that. And out of those 20 people, we brought in tens of thousands of dollars in back-end services by not even trying to sell them at first. It wasn't even an option. We didn't even sell them. I just said, you know what? I'm going to personally call them and message them. And I put my staff on it to people that didn't return a phone call. They would do follow-up calls, and we would get in contact with them. And the feedback on that one scenario has been worth multi-millions to me. Right. Wow. And so that's like one example, you know, because stuff will happen, you know, and again, failure is no option for a reason, because failure will happen. We will have issues, but it's what I've realized. It's how you handle those issues. Right. Mm-hmm. It's how you, you know, approach them and what you do next that will dictate the outcome overall.
It's great advice. I mean, that you know, you're sharing and such incredible kind of insights and behind the scenes about how you operate, Ryan. I mean, it's amazing to see and hear. How can we find out more about you and also your course, Mailbox Secrets?
Yeah, thanks so much. So it's really simple, mailboxsecrets.com can get you access. It's a multi-book series, and we send out resources. If you even want to just hack the process and see the follow-ups and all that fun stuff, mm-hmm. That's one way of doing it for, I think it's $89, the low price. And that will get you into my world. I'm on social media. The Ryan Allaire is, you know, Facebook, Instagram. We post tons of content, tons of case studies. So ideally you could, you know, just jump on Facebook or Instagram and just kind of see the stuff we produce daily, weekly, monthly. And then also mailboxsecrets.com. There's an option there if you don't want the product to just get on our resource list and our newsletter list and get updates. And yeah, I really do appreciate you having me, and it's been a fun.
Oh, it's been amazing. And can I just say as well, Mailbox Secrets come so highly recommended. I know you mentioned that people, you know, may not want to actually grab the product, but it's one of those must reads. If this is an industry that interests you, both online marketing and offline marketing, or a combination of the two, then Mailbox Secrets is possibly one of the pivotal products that you have to read, so that you get like that depth of knowledge. And Ryan shared so much already in the time that we've spent together. You can imagine how much more you're going to learn if actually you immerse yourself in Ryan's world altogether. So definitely worth checking out, mailboxsecrets.com. Ryan, once again, thank you so much. We've covered so much ground here, and thank you for taking us on that journey.
Well, thank you for having me. You know, I know we have a lot of awesome things planned ahead with you guys, right? Nick and Kate, and we won't even talk about it right now, but just to be on the lookout, right? And to be in store for some fun stuff that we're in discussing behind the scenes. Spoiler alert, it might include a live in-person interaction event. So I'm excited for that coming up when the pandemic stuff fades away and the vaccines and all that fun stuff, you know, is taking effect and people are communicating again and in person. So I would say be on the lookout for that. You know, anything I can do on the topics of direct mail, just let me know. And I'd love to be a resource, help out wherever I can. And thanks again for having me here, and looking forward to doing more with you guys in the near future.